Today's scripture is from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 9. What I mean is this: the one who sows a small number of seeds will also reap a small crop, and the one who sows a generous amount of seeds will also reap a generous crop. Everyone should give whatever they have decided in their heart. They shouldn't give with hesitation or because of pressure. God loves a cheerful giver. God has the power to provide you with more than enough of every kind of grace. That way, you will have everything you need always and in everything to provide more than enough for every kind of good work. As it is written, he scattered everywhere. He gave to the needy. His righteousness remains forever. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Well, it is so good to be with you all this morning because I have been away for a couple of weeks. I know that you all got to hang out with Pastor Jen a couple weeks ago and then Pastor Javon last week, but I'm back, so hopefully that's fine. I am really excited to be with you to wrap up this Parched series because I love this series because it is inviting us to look at spiritual practices together, which is not something that we often take a lot of time to do. And so as we dive into this last practice together this week, I want to invite you to pray with me. God, we all come here to this place in different states of being. Lord, some of us feel so full and overflowing. And God, I know some of us are just kind of hanging on, and we are embodying this idea of being parched. So Jesus, no matter where we are today, I just simply pray you would meet us there. And remind us, Lord, that when you show up with grace and love and invitation, and we just get to say yes and follow you. So it's in your name we pray today. Amen. Amen. Well, today, as we wrap up our series, you know, we have been looking at practices all through the month of July, and we've looked at several different things. We have looked at what it means to pay attention. We've looked at what it means to rest. We've talked about exploring and trying new things. And then last week, we talked about what it means to cultivate a rhythm of prayer in our lives. And one thing is, I looked at those last 4 weeks and I thought, all of these practices have this one thing in common. They're very internally focused. They're very much about what's going on in here. And so for this last week, we're actually going to kind of shift gears a little bit, and we're going to look at what's going on out there. How does the state of our internal self impact our external world? And so our practice this week that we're looking at is the practice of what it means to give. What it means to give. And now each week that we have been together, I've invited you to take out your sermon notes. I know we ran out of bulletins today, so I'm really sorry about that. You may or may not have sermon notes, but if you have sermon notes, I want to invite you to take that sheet out. And if you have something to write with, I want to invite you to write down this question this week to consider. And it's, how do you respond when someone gives you a gift? Now, major disclaimer on this. I'm not talking about like when your third cousin's aunt gave you some weird trinket that you didn't want for your house, okay? Because I know what you did. You went to Goodwill and you got rid of that. I'm talking about when you get an awesome gift. How do you respond to that? It might not seem like a super spiritual question at first, but what I have found in my life is that how we respond to gifts we're given, sometimes it really has nothing to do with the gift that we get. It's actually about what's going on inside of us. And unfortunately, friends, I have a great story to illustrate this. So this is probably one of the cringiest things I have ever shared with a congregation during a sermon. And so just buckle up. I always say every week, I'm like, church is a judgment-free zone, but you can judge. This is fine. And some of you will judge. I know some of you, though, are going to be like, I feel so seen right now. So whatever camp you fall into, you're all welcome here. We love you. But the thing I want to tell you about responding to a gift that was more about me than the gifts received is that Zach and I have been married for 13 years. Zach and I did not send thank you notes after we got married. Okay, someone just mouthed me either. So yes, you're my people. Some of you gasped and cried and will never be able to look at each other in the eye. But look, it wasn't that we weren't grateful. We sure were grateful. Life was just super chaotic when we got married. First of all, we were 22 and 23. We moved across the country 2 whole days after we got married. I started seminary. He was looking for a job. I mean, life was just chaos. And so occasionally we would say to each other, hey, we should probably like write and send those notes. But 13 years later, it has not happened. And I do not judge 23-year-old me. I have a lot of grace for her. But I think if I could go back in time, what I would say to her is, hey, I know things are weird. I know it's a lot of effort, but you're missing an opportunity to give something back because someone has given something to you. You're missing the opportunity to tell people who told you that they loved you, that you love them back. And I think sometimes we can miss these opportunities in our spiritual life as well. I think sometimes we miss the fact that we've received so much from God and we miss the chance to respond. And so that's why we're talking about giving today, is this final spiritual practice. Now, I want you to know, this is not a sermon for you to feel like a bunch of guilt and shame about. This is not a sermon where I want you to leave this place and say, well, Pastor Mindy does not think I'm doing enough. That is not the point of why we're talking about giving. Why we're talking about giving, though, is I want us to understand that we are people who have received a whole lot of God's grace. And I know we don't always feel that way. I know we can have seasons of our life where things feel hard, where we're not really sure what our relationship with God is like. But at the bottom line, you and I have received an awful lot of goodness and love. And so we are called to respond. We're called to give from that place. And I think that's the core of what Paul is trying to get at in this letter to the Corinthians today. Because for Paul, it is really important that people understand that this idea of giving is essential to their faith life. It is a core principle. And what I love about how Paul writes this letter is, you know, he does not give the people a checklist of how to give. He doesn't say, you do this, you do that, and then you will give. He simply says, God loves it when we give. God loves when we give from a place of gratitude, of thankfulness. God loves a cheerful giver. I think for Paul, it's less important how we give and more important that we do it at all. I actually think Paul, if he was teaching the Parch series, he would say that giving is one of those things that is essential to keeping your spiritual cup full. And so as Paul talks to this community, he's asking them to do it because he says, I can see all of the grace and blessings you've received. You know, sometimes when Paul writes letters, he kind of starts from a place of deficit. He'll say, you know, you've got to do more of this, or hopefully you can find more of this thing. But he doesn't do that here. He actually starts with what they have. He says, church, I see you. I see that you have been given more than enough. I see that God has showered you with love and grace. And now I want to know, how are you going to live because you have those things? That's the question Paul is asking the church in Corinth. And I think it's probably the question that Paul would ask a church like us. Because I think if Paul was talking to us, what he might gently nudge us to remember is that we are called to be more than grace receivers, but we are called to be grace distributors. It's great that we get these things from God, But if we just keep them to ourselves, we're going to miss something. And you know, this is where I sometimes see our spiritual practices fall flat. And I am speaking to you as someone who gets in this trap, okay? But I can watch myself get really good at some of these internal things. I might have an awesome prayer life. I am reading the Bible. I'm taking my Sabbath. I am feeling really good and warm and fuzzy. But what's the temptation there? The temptation is to make my faith all about me. And to forget that what God calls me to do is to look out, to look at who I can love, what I can give, how I can use all of those things happening in my spirit to give some grace back into the world. And when we do that, I feel like we miss something important. We miss the chance to give. And you know, I would say this to you. We all have something to give. Now, I know some of you heard me say that, and your first thought in your mind was, well, okay, but not me. I don't have anything to give. And so the first thought in my mind when I hear that is, yes, you have something to give. I am telling you, if you are hearing this message today, you have something to give. And this is a really tricky one in our world right now, and I would even say in our churches right now, because we live in a world that is so full of competition and comparison, and we can get in this trap where we think, okay, I have a gift, but maybe it's not good enough. I can see someone living out their gift. I mean, I see these people up here playing instruments and singing songs, and I think, I can't really do that. I'm not good at that. Maybe my gift isn't good enough to use in this church setting. You know, when we were doing the Midtown launch team, one thing I heard over and over again from those of you that participated was, my gift doesn't feel like it fits in a neat and tidy church ministry box. So do I even have a gift to give? And as we explored our gifts together, we learned that yes, every single one of us has what we need to make the church a beautiful and thriving place. And I know that sometimes in our worst moments, we get caught up in that comparison, or maybe we even get caught up in that narrator in our head that says, you're not enough, do more, be more, get more of that thing. And I just want to shut that down today. Because if we're going to talk about giving, we have to believe what Paul has to say. We have to believe that when we give as a response to God's grace, that stuff doesn't have any place there. We've got to believe that it can't run out. In fact, Paul even says this. Paul says, God has the power to provide you with more than enough of every kind of grace. I want you to hear that before you read the rest of the scripture. More than enough of every kind of grace. And he goes on to say, that way, you will have everything you need always and in everything to provide more than enough for every kind of good work. We've got more than enough. You've got more than enough. We do not, as the church, we do not, as people who know Jesus, as people who are covered in grace, we do not have to operate from a place of scarcity. Because that is not how God works. God is generous. God is giving it out. God says, I am not going to run out of all of this stuff and all of this gifting and all of this grace. I've got enough for you to show up and make a difference as only you can. You know, it kind of reminds me of when my kids were younger, and I would say it was probably preschool through first grade that I watched this happen. So they were in daycare, they were in preschool, elementary school, and they would have classroom jobs. Has anyone had a kid with a classroom job before? Okay, these were jobs like librarian and line leader, and my very favorite was electrician. Because electrician sounded very high stakes for a six-year-old, right? It just means turning the lights on and off. It's not that exciting, but they were really excited about it. And so they thought that these jobs were just it. I mean, they were so excited, and they would change jobs every few weeks so that everyone got to do different jobs. And they would come home, and they would be like, Mom and Dad, we got a new job. And then they'd talk to us about, like, stacking books and wiping down tables, and all I could think was, you don't do any of this at home, so why are you excited about this at school? I don't get it. But the thing is, their teachers were creating this environment in their classrooms where every single person was crucial. Every single job was crucial. I mean, the electrician doesn't show up, what are we gonna do? We're gonna sit in the dark all day. The line leader isn't here, we're gonna get lost on the way to art class. I mean, if these jobs don't happen, this first grade class is falling apart. Now, it's true for little kids in first grade, but it's true for us too, because every single one of us is critical. Every single one of us has a gift that we need. And I am telling you, whether you fully believe this or not today, if you don't show up with that gift, this thing called the church falls apart. We cannot possibly be as good as we can be. We cannot possibly be a full, complete reflection of Jesus without you. We need you to give so that we can be this beautiful body of Christ. And I think one of the challenges that we can have when we want to give, when we want to use our gifts, is that we can't always see the impact that they're going to have. You know, I'll fully be transparent with you and say, this is one of the things that holds me back sometimes. Like, I like to see the big picture of how things are going to work. I like to know that my time or my money or my effort is going to make a difference. And unfortunately, when we give, we can't always see that. We can't always know what God is going to do with those things. But recently, I heard a story that really reminded me why showing up and giving, no matter what the outcome is going to be, why it matters. So a few weeks ago, our high school group, some of the students there went to Belize on a mission trip. And you'll see a few pictures of them scrolling while we talk about this. And, you know, they came back with so many stories, as you do from a trip like this. But there was one story that really stood out to me. And if you get our Revelations email, you might have read this story a couple weeks ago. Travis Bannon's our interim director of student ministries, and he told this. But I want to tell it to you again today, because I think it just demonstrates why this matters. So one of their projects on this trip was they were working at a woman named Miss Phyllis's house. Now, the main project, that's Miss Phyllis right there, and Allie, who we're going to talk about in a second. Now, the main project at Miss Phyllis's house was repairing her roof. It had been damaged in a hurricane, and she was getting water in her house. So the student said, sure, we'll show up to do this. Well, when they got there, they realized that Miss Phyllis's house just needed some extra work. She had a lot of mobility issues. Things like the dishes weren't done. There was kind of garbage places. They're like, we can help clean. We can do the dishes. Like, we're here. We will help make this better. And so they were doing some of that work. And then Allie noticed Miss Phyllis was just sitting there. So Allie sat down with her. And Allie sat with Miss Phyllis for probably a couple hours and just said, Miss Phyllis, will you tell me your story? And so Miss Phyllis started telling Allie her story, and it won't surprise you that it's a hard story. I mean, there's a lot of loss there. She had a stroke, and that's why she's not able to do as many things around her house. She lost a loved one during COVID. I mean, she just had a lot of grief and pain happening in this story. But she said that the fact that Allie showed up and sat with her and wanted to learn from her, that was such a huge blessing in her life. And so she gave Allie this bowl that Allie is holding in the picture. It's a heart-shaped bowl, and her grandson hand-carved it from wood from their national tree. She said, Allie, because you touched my heart, I want to give you a piece of my heart to take home. And so fast forward a few days, and they're at these closing ceremonies for the trip. They're having a worship service. The students are there. People from the community are there. And of course, there's like a time to share. If you've ever been on a mission trip, you know we have sharing time at the end of a mission trip. And so Allie stood up, and she said, you know, I think the most important time for me on this trip was my time sitting with Miss Phyllis. I just learned a lot from her. She helped put some things in perspective for me. She really changed the way I viewed some things that are going on in my life. And right after she shared, Miss Phyllis shared and said, the fact that this person thought I was worth taking the time to sit with and listen and learn from, it meant everything to me. Now, here's what I would guess. I would guess before that trip, if you asked Allie, hey, what do you think your time is worth? And if you asked Miss Phyllis, hey, what do you think this wooden heart-shaped bowl is worth? They probably would have just said, those are simple things that we have. But because they showed up with those simple things and gave them generously, it impacted someone. That's what giving can do. And you know, Paul says, God will give us everything we need. And I just wonder if some of us need to hear that today. I wonder if some of us need to hear that, whether it is time, money, ability, opportunity, whatever it is, that you have more than enough. And if you are feeling the Holy Spirit nudge you to give in some way, I just want to encourage you to not hold back. Because your faith community needs you to give. Your world needs you to give. But I would tell you that you need you to give too. This is part of staying out of that parched space and having a healthy, thriving relationship with God. And so today, like Paul, I am not going to be super prescriptive on how you do this. I'm sorry. I'm not going to send you with like five easy ways to give necessarily. You will get a form as you leave that you can fill out with some ways to serve in kids, hospitality, or care ministry. So you can respond in that way. You also, if you look at that sermon note sheet, you'll see that there's some other ways that you can discover or use your gifts. And I want you to use those resources, but I guess what I also want you to do is realize that you are the one in your life, in your communities, that knows what's going on. So when you see a need in your school, when you see a need at your workplace, when you see a need in your neighborhood, pay attention to that nudge. Pay attention to where your gifts start to poke their head up and say, maybe I could be used. Pay attention to that, because that's how God starts to use us in our everyday, normal lives. You know, as I think about what Paul has to say to the Corinthians, as I think about that story of Allie and Phyllis, even as I think about those kids and their jobs and their classroom, here's what it makes me think about giving. When we give, it all leads to more. Giving multiplies the grace that we receive. And so I think the question for us today, as we get ready to close and go into communion, is what is the thing that you have to give? And then I might even add on to that question, and how are you going to use it? You do have something to give, each and every one of you. I'm 100% confident of that. You are people who are covered in grace. And even if we can't see what God's going to do, I know that when we show up and give, that God's going to show up too. Will you pray with me as we go into communion? God, my prayer for us today is that we would know what it means to be people who have been given so much grace and love. God, I pray that we would be people who can't help but respond to these things. God, I pray that this grace and love would flow out of us, that we would live into your example, and we would remember that you are the one who first showed us what it means to give without scarcity, without holding back. And God, we're grateful.